my feeling is that if you're going to be a champion, you have to play and win along the way. And, you know, if you play them in the first round, second round, championship game, it really doesn't matter. You're going to have to win. And for us, it's, you know, staying in the moment and finding a way to win one game this weekend.
That's Marty Schottenheimer, the best coach I ever played for. But we got a couple minutes with Jarrett Bell, who did a story focusing on Sean Merriman. I knew that Michael Strahan would enjoy this, considering that they both are considered two of the very best at rushing the quarterback. But Jarrett, did the Chargers stay in the moment yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what, they blew golden opportunities one after another. And you know, you could put a lot of blame on Marty Schottenheimer, and he's going to get a lot of heat for what happened yesterday. But there's a lot of blame to go around, because the Chargers lost their cool. I mean, if it's not Marlon McCree, who could have just batted down that fourth down pass, or if he intercepted it, could have just, you know, fallen to the turf. It was Drayton Florence getting the stupid, you know, personal foul penalty. The Patriots thrive on things like that, where teams beat themselves, and I think that's what happened to the Chargers yesterday.
And if you compare, we were just talking about the Saints and why both Michael and I think we're beginning to influence Len, too, to believe that the team that makes the least mistakes, like the Saints, are so confident that doesn't beat themselves. And it seems as if Marty, who had so many good things going for them in that game yesterday, but Marty's team made a couple crucial mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was just saying. It's like, you know, when you get to the playoffs, there's such a finality about it where, you know, you don't want to give any opportunities away. You know, every play could be the one that determines, you know, whether you win or lose, and I think yesterday was a classic example of that. So I think, you know, teams like the Patriots and even the Colts, when they went into Baltimore and won on Saturday, when you've got that playoff experience, you kind of know what you can't do. Yeah, you can try to make your big plays and not be tight and be poised and be relaxed and all those things. But, yeah, the mistakes doom you. And, you know, we hear it all the time during the regular season, but in the playoffs, obviously, it's magnified.
Well, before we let you go, because we know you got a lot of stuff going on here, you wrote a great article about Sean Merriman. Where was Sean Merriman? Where was that pass rush at the end of the game when it mattered most?
Yeah, it wasn't there. I mean, he didn't have any sacks yesterday. He had a lot of pressure. It was pretty good, consistent pressure. He got some hits on Brady, but, no, he didn't get a chance to perform that lights-out dance a whole lot yesterday. In fact, I think Mike Vrabel did it more than Merriman did it yesterday. Yeah, hey, that's how you define yourself as a great player in this league. And, you know, I've talked to Sean over the past, you know, since he's been in the league the past couple years, and he really wants to go down as, you know, one of the great players at his position, and he's only 22 years old, so he has a chance, and he's off to a great start. But you define yourself in the biggest games, in the championship games, and he didn't do that yesterday.
Well, thanks for joining us, Jarrett Bell. We'll watch for more of your outstanding articles this coming week to look at the matchup for what will be an incredible weekend of conference championship games. But check out Jarrett Bell in USA Today every week. Thanks, Jarrett.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Michael Strahan, as you look at this young guy, 22 years old, overcame a four-game suspension, came back and had, what was it, 8 sacks in 5 games, and, you know, seems to be mature beyond his years. Most people tend to want to believe him that it wasn't intentional, what happened with that substance issue. But what happened with him? Throwing all that aside, was San Diego too conservative, not blitzing, not putting enough pressure on the greatest pressure quarterback, with the possible exception of Joe Montana, in the history of the game?
Well, it seemed like earlier in the game they put a lot more pressure on Brady. They were getting to him a little bit more, falling on his ankles, just like doing a lot of little things like that, getting close, making him uncomfortable. But one thing the Patriots thrive on, as Jarrett just hit, they like a game where the other team makes mistakes and hurts themselves. And the Patriots are a team, they're on the road. You're in San Diego, one of the loudest and toughest places to play. But we went there with Eli 2 years ago. And one thing you want to do when you're in a situation like that, keep the game close. Just keep it close to the fourth quarter. If you can tie it up in the fourth quarter, then you give your team confidence. You know you have a chance to win at that point. Just don't let it get out of hand. And the Patriots are the best in the business, and Bill Belichick makes sure that his team understands that 100%. And no matter what the score is, that team continues to go after you and go after you. But when it counted the most and they really needed that pressure, they just didn't get it on Brady. I mean, I think the offensive line picked it up. The Patriots understand how to play when the pressure's on in those type of situations, because they've been in it many times before. And, you know, about Merriman and the pressure that gets some hits and all those things, one thing that Belichick is great at, and one thing Parcells before him and all the coaches in and under that type of system, is they look at how to take out the best guy on both sides of the ball.
Exactly.
So they're going to say, Sean Merriman, 17 sack led the league, erase him. Whatever we have to do, erase him. Tom Brady would not have to worry about him. Now, if you're going to let some of the other guys get us, let those guys beat us. But they take out the number one guy. On defense, he is their number one guy. And yesterday they did a good job, but I don't think it diminishes, you know, the type of player that he is, that he didn't have a sack or anything like that, because sacks come and they go. They're very hard to get in the first place. I mean, if you imagine he had 17 and led the league, and yet probably pass rushed over 1,000 times last year during the course of the season. So, Sean Merriman's a great player, and it just wasn't San Diego's day yesterday because they played the team that knows how to play that game better than anybody else.
Len Dawson, Marlon McCree gets that interception. All he has to do is knock the ball down. Is that the play of the game?
I think it is. You know, not only is Michael good-looking, but he's intelligent, too. He's right on, mister, because the thing that I would do against the Giants if I were playing against Michael is take him out. I'd say you're going to see a lot
of... I think that's what they did.
...big guy, because I don't want to see you back there in my face. But I want to ask Michael something. Now, you just mentioned that, and I think you did,
yep.
Unless it was the writer, that the defensive back should have done one of two things. It was a fourth down situation, bat the ball down, or if you catch it, go to the ground yourself. Now, do all defensive guys, Michael, feel that once they intercept or a pass or pick up a fumble, they're going to score?
Exactly. That's why you see a guy who catches 5 yards deep and he tries to bring it out, because you feel like, I got it in my hands. And they're not used to having the ball. They're not a running back or receiver where it's, you know, used to carrying the ball every play or, you know, thinking about, okay, how do I run the running style. The guys get it, and they do whatever they can to get some positive yards, because, first of all, they're excited that you made a play in the biggest game of probably your career. And, you know, but New England, Troy Brown, he strips the ball because he plays defense now. He understands the defensive mentality, but yet he understands the offensive mentality because he's a receiver. And Troy Brown just made a great play. And you know what? You can just chalk that up for both sides. One guy made a mistake, and the other guy made a great play, or that was just the course in which the game took. But anytime a defensive player touches the ball, we believe we can score. I even believe I can run 100 yards.
I know you do. I feel that way. But I relate it kind of to like baseball, that if you're – stay on defense, no matter what the batter does, you know exactly what you're going to do in that situation because you've gone through it before. And I was just thinking, if it's a fourth down situation and you can bat that ball down, that's what you should do, bat that thing down. Now you got it first down in their territory. So that was a huge play to me. That was a play of the game.
Guys, we only have a few minutes left. Let's talk about Manning at Indianapolis. Certainly, Indianapolis has won the last two games. Manning's thrown for an average of about 325 yards and two touchdowns. They're playing in Indy. How do you see this game, Michael?
Man, you know what? I've been thinking that New England is one of those teams. They've lost so many players, and, you know, free agency or whatever it may be, and let Willie McGinnis go, and, that, you know, they're on the downside of things. They continue to win. Every time I discount them, they continue to win. I picked the Chargers to win the whole thing. Now they're sitting at home, and they lost in San Diego. So now to go into Indy, I just have to go with New England. I'm sorry, I just can't go against them. Those guys know how to handle that situation, and they have a coach, I think, who thrives and who makes things happen and just knows how to keep that game close until it really counts. But it's going to be a great game. It's not going to be an easy win, but I'm going to go against the underdog, which I think is probably going to be New England. I'll take the Patriots.
Len, you know, we've just talked about Belichick taking away, and Michael, you said the same thing, taking away the best thing. What is the best thing that the Patriots have to take away from Indianapolis?
Well, I would say that you got to take away one thing or another. So I'd take away the running game and force Peyton Manning to throw the ball a lot more than he wants to. He didn't score a touchdown against Baltimore the other day, but they had the running game going fairly well. So I would take away the running game and make them one-dimensional. You would like to do that with any team that you play.
Michael, give us a little bit more of an insight into the change in the mentality of a Peyton Manning. The numbers throughout these playoffs have belied the actual result itself. And here's a Manning with no touchdown passes, and yet, who cares about that? Five interceptions. Who cares about that? He is where he wants to be. How important is this to Peyton Manning in his legacy to come through with a victory on Sunday?
Well, I think it's very. I mean, already, Peyton's got a long career ahead of him, and they're already saying, well, he's the greatest quarterback that'll never win the Super Bowl. And the guy had the long career, still in the playoffs now, and they're saying that. So I think it's very important to him. I think as a player, when you hear things like that, even though you try not to let them affect you, you feel it, and you feel it, and you want to prove everybody wrong. And at this point, I don't think he cares if he throws five interceptions or if he throws 10 touchdowns. As long as they win is the only thing that he's worried about. And I think Lynn just summed it up. They had a pretty good running game. If you can shut that running game down and make him throw the ball, the problem is when he's on, he's on. And there's nobody like him. So I think it's just a risky situation on either way you want to play it. But, you know, Peyton Manning's going to be Peyton Manning.
Hey, Michael, before we let you go, buddy, we just want to wish you good luck. And do you think you're going to have the same coach that you started the season with next year?
Oh, yeah. You know, Tom Coughlin's coming back. We're going to have a different defensive coordinator. So that's to change things up a little bit.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for changing things up and joining us. Great job. Great offseason. Hopefully we'll talk to you later in the playoffs if we're lucky. Appreciate
All right,
it, buddy.
Thank you, guys, Lynn. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael. When we come back, final thoughts from Len Dawson about the playoffs and about what they meant. Then we'll be joined by Rick Bucher from ESPN The Magazine to talk about the NBA and NBA update with the great Rick Bucher. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.